standing this morning for the reading of the Word of John. You know, I just happened to notice back there that I could see my songbook without my glasses. What about that? I'm telling you, that's wonderful. And that tells me I'm doing a little bit better. But I'm not yet all the way there, I can tell you that, and I'll tell you how I know. Nothing that I know myself, but what was said to me yesterday morning. I had a very wise man yesterday, just sitting across from me, and I hadn't said a word about my eyes. He looked over at me and said, "Papa, what's wrong with your eyes?" And old Kaizak down there, he'd done scoped me out once, and there's some red there, and there's a little something wrong. He knew there's a little problem. I hadn't seen it that morning. I thought I was looking pretty good, but he scoped it right out. But I am doing better with him, and thank God for it. Amen. And trusting the Lord to get my real glasses. I went and got me a pair of reading glasses that wasn't colored, so I can do a little better job in here and not feel so guilty about wearing yellow glasses. Amen. All right, I want to ask you to turn your Bibles this morning. Passage of Scripture Brother Steve taught from several months ago, maybe been a year ago, I don't know. But in Matthew chapter number 6, you'll be turning your Bibles there. And I want to begin reading it verse number 5. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 5. A portion of the Scripture that is commonly known, the Sermon on the Mount, and begins in chapter number 5 and verse number 1 and concludes itself in chapter number 7 and verse 29. And so you'll turn with me there in chapter 6 and verse number 5. We'll begin reading there. I'm going to put in there just for the sake of time. I should start a little sooner than that, but I'm not going to. I'm going to start right there for the sake of time. The Bible said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." He wouldn't be God if he didn't. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." And this is a model prayer, not necessarily the way we are to pray, but it's a model prayer that gives us a direction and a guide and thoughts on our prayer to the Lord. It said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great time that I've had this morning in the house of God myself. My heart's certainly been stirred in the Sunday school time, and the songs today have all just seemed, Lord, like they moved my spirit and my heart, and drawed me closer to you and give me some grace and help that I needed today, and I'm thankful for it. I pray you'll bless every soul that's here. Do remember those, Lord, that are sick that we mentioned earlier. Brother Andy, I pray you continue to help him, give his doctors wisdom and him and his family great understanding and comfort during this time. I do pray for Angie's daddy that you'd bless and help there and comfort our daughter-in-law as well, Lord, and give her the grace and help that she needs. Bless the preaching, save sinners, touch the hearts of your people that are here. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. For his sake we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right. I want to preach this morning just for a little while. The title really doesn't mean anything at all. It's just a title. But I want to preach for just a little while this morning on proper praying. I believe that the model prayer gives us the proper way that we are to call upon the name of the Lord. It gives us a guide to follow in our prayer life. And it is beneficial to each and every one of us here this morning and those listening by the way of radio as well. You know, prayer is really a precious thing. It's so very, very precious. And it's so precious that the flesh fights it with all the power that it possibly can. You may not realize it or not, but our flesh is probably one of the greatest enemies we have. We blame a whole lot on the devil, and he's worthy of blaming it on him. He should. He's a devil. He's sorry. But our flesh hinders us from accomplishing some real wonderful things, I believe, that God would have us to accomplish basically in our own personal spiritual life. You know, if each one of us personally would grow, come to greater understanding and reach greater depths of joy and understanding in the Word of God on an individual basis, it's bound to bleed out into the house of God. And we'd be drinking from our saucer because our cup would certainly be running over. And so the prayer is precious, and the flesh fights it with all its power. And to achieve its greatest potential is certainly very difficult. You know, the Bible said in John chapter number 14, you don't need to turn there, I'll just turn there and read this. But John said in John chapter number 14 and verses 13 and 14, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, that is a great promise from the Word of God. There's no question about it. And to achieve its greatest potential is very difficult. I'll be quite honest with you. Most of our praying never really reaches the hem of the garment of Christ. We're very shallow in our prayers. I've read the prayer. I've been reading a book, and I didn't get this from the book. But I've been reading a book by Charles Spurgeon, and it's on prayer. I thought it was messages on prayers. But what it is prayers that he prayed before he preached the message that he intended for that Lord's Day. And his prayer is about half as long as a lot of men's message is today. A lot of folks would grow very weary in body just sitting there long enough to get through a prayer, much less a prayer and a message. And the reason that I think that Spurgeon was that way is simply because he realized the potential that there is in prayer. There's a great potential in it, but it's very difficult for you and I to reach because of the fight that we get from the flesh and the devil in the world as well. But if by the grace of God, we can ever overcome all of the obstacles, and there's plenty of them, that need to be overcome in this prayer life. If we can overcome all these obstacles then that are before us, the results and the accomplishments of our mature prayer life are worthy of our utmost devotion and desire. May I say to you that, we accomplish things by prayer. I remember when the Lord had come down from the Mount of Transfigure, come down off of the mountain with his disciples, and they had a young man there that was possessed with a devil, And the disciples of the Lord could not cast out that devil.
Amen.
And the disciples asked, the man asked the Lord, said, why could not thy disciples cast him out? Well, the Lord cast out that devil. And then he made the statement to his disciples. They said, why couldn't we cast him out? And he said, this kind goeth out not, but by fasting and by prayer.
Amen.
And so there are prayers that get answered, but they get answered when we put a little bit of our own heart and soul and spirit into it.
Amen.
I think so many of us want to pray now, lay me down to sleep. And there's nothing wrong with that for a child, but it'll never get the job done for you and I that are more mature and grown in the Lord. I said that to say this. We need to increase in our prayer life.
Amen.
We need to learn how to pray. If it wasn't important, please tell me why the Lord's disciples asked him one time, said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Even as John also taught his disciples. And so what they're saying is they got a better prayer life than what we've got. And, you know, there are people, I'm sure, all across this country that have a much, much greater prayer life than what I have. I was talking to a preacher just the other day, and I'll not mention who he was, but I was talking to a preacher just the other day, and he said, Brother Hall, he said, believe it or not, I've been praying for you for years. And he said, I pray for you every day, and I want to continue to pray for you on a daily basis. Well, that really gripped my heart when I realized a man loved me enough to pray for me on that daily basis. Now, and so it's worthy of our devotion, devoting time to prayer, and having a desire to pray. It's worthy of that. I could never mention, especially in just one message, the numberless activities or things that are involved in our prayer life. They're numerous. And we may say more about some of them later on. But they're numerous. I mean, there are so many things that are involved in praying that one message will never do it justice. And don't intend to try. In fact, I'm only going to preach down through, Lord willing, I'm going to preach down through verse 10. Is as far as I'm going to get on this thing this morning. But the activities. But by way of introduction, I want to refer to just for a moment, if I may, to those things that our Lord spoke of here in the text. He said in verse number 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And just a couple of things I want to touch on out of that. And number one is, seek the ear of the Lord rather than the praise of men. You know, I'm confident that there are men that entertain the idea if they'll pray long enough or pray a prayer that seems to be so sweet and so wonderful that it's heard of men, that their prayer will be answered. But may I say to you, gentlemen, it is not the ear of man that we need. It is not the praise of man that we need. But it's the heart of God that we need. We need the grace of Almighty God. And in order to get that, we need Him to hear. We need the ear of God and not the praise of men. I've heard men pray before and people come up to me and say, wasn't that a lovely prayer that so-and-so prayed? Well, you know, you don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Say no. You say, yeah, that was a nice prayer, so on and so forth. But really, my thing is this. Did it please the Lord? Did the prayer pray? Did it get the ear of the Lord? If it got the ear of the Lord, did it move the Lord? If it moved the Lord, was the prayer answered? If the prayer was answered, did the person receive the answer in the way that they desired Or did God give it to them in a different way? And sometimes God answers every prayer, but He don't always answer them in the way that we ask. I'm satisfied. If God answered some of the prayers the way that we asked for them, there'd be some of us probably be dead by now. I'm just being honest with you. I've heard some prayers prayed for, and I said, Lord, and I've told you this. Dr. Seiler was in a meeting one time, and he came back to the tabernacle, and he said he was in a prayer room praying, and he was down by this elderly gentleman. Said that gentleman said, Lord, said, please help us tonight. And said, whatever you do, Lord, said, please eliminate Dr. Seiler's mind. Dr. Seiler said, I'm on my knees, and I said, Lord, please don't answer that man's prayer. What that man meant was illuminate Dr. Seiler's mind. But he used the word eliminate. And you know what your mind, to be eliminated, you want to be illuminated. Amen. And so we don't need the praise of man. We need the ear of God. And the first one here is a praise of man that produces empty results. May I say, if all we ever get is the praise of man, all we'll ever have is empty results. We've got the idea that men can help us. They can't. They can't help themselves. I cannot help myself. Now, there's nothing wrong with having somebody to pray for you. There's nothing wrong with having someone to speak comforting words to you and try to comfort and help you the best they can in a crisis in your life. But I'm going to tell you what, when it comes to helping the heart itself, it's going to take the divine work of Almighty God. And that's right. And we're going to have the ear of God in order to have that done. And the ear of man will bring empty results. Nothing will ever happen out of that. But the second prayer is a heavenly answer with God's reward. You notice he said, if you'll pray to the Lord in secret, then he will reward thee openly. Now, here's some that are trying to be rewarded openly through themselves that get nowhere with God nor with man. But the Lord said, if you'll get in that closet and pray, he said, I'll answer your closet prayer and I'll reward you openly. So if you want to be, if you want men to understand or to get a hold of what you're doing and how God is blessing you in your life, then you're going to pray in secret. And God will reward you openly. I believe I've got it written down here. I believe somewhere. The heavenly answer with God's prayer, which is easily recognized by your fellow men. Forsake the idea that God hears long prayers. Just forsake that. He said in verse number 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, who's here? Who do they think they're going to be heard of? They think that because of their much speaking, they're going to be heard of God. They have the idea that the more and the longer that they can speak and pray, that the more their God is going to hear from them. But I've got news for you, friend. It's not always the long prayers that gets the job done. Now, there's nothing wrong with a long prayer in your closet. But it's not always that lengthy prayer and vain repetitions, saying the same words over and over again, that's going to accomplish for you and I, or gain for you and I, what we need by the grace of God. Just a couple of illustrations on that. In Isaiah 38 and verse number 3, Hezekiah has gotten sick. And he had just wrought a great victory, he had gotten sick. He got puffed up with pride, and he had gotten sick. And Isaiah came to him and told him, said, hey, said, you're not coming down off your sick bed. The Lord has said, set your house in order, because you're surely going to die. Isaiah turned his face to the wall, and the best I can count, prayed 32 words. 32 words. That's all. And it was so short that before Isaiah could get out of the gate, God spoke to Isaiah and said, go back and tell the captain of my people that his prayers have been heard. You know why they were heard? He prayed those 32 words from the heart that brought tears to his eyes. I'm going to tell you, God put those tears in his bottle. God heard that prayer. God answered that prayer. Said, you go back and tell the captain of my people that I've heard that prayer, and I'm going to add 15 years to his life. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying it is not always the lengthy prayers and the vain repetitions. Sometimes it's those short prayers that God hears and does business for you and I in our Christian life. Can you imagine 32 words gaining 15 years of life? I can take you to the Bible and prove it, friend. Now, some of you sitting out there, you've got the idea that there's no need for you to pray because you don't know how to pray a long time. You've never got to the place in your Christian life and the maturity in your Christian life where you know everything to pray for and how to pray for it, and it takes you a long time to pray. I've heard men now tell me that, Brother Sammy Allen, I don't doubt it. I've heard men tell me that they've been in the room with Brother Allen in a motel room, and the first thing he does, you know what he uses for an altar when he's in a motel room? Some of you are going to laugh. He uses the toilet. He goes in the bathroom, shuts that lid, and kneels down over that toilet. And I've had men to tell me that he will stay there for times as long as 4 hours at a time. Somebody said, now, Brother, all that ain't right. You said that wasn't right. No, I didn't say that wasn't right. He's praying for people. Has Hezekiah didn't pray for people. Hezekiah prayed for himself. One particular thing that he wanted. He didn't want to die right then. And the Lord heard those 32 words and saw those tears and answered the prayer of Hezekiah. Now, what am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying, hey, you don't have to pray long prayers to be heard of God. Now, that's right. Some of you think, some of you are not praying because you've got the idea God won't hear a thing you say because you're not eloquent. You don't pray long. You don't know how to say a whole lot. So therefore you don't say anything. But I'm telling you, the short prayers many times are more efficacious for a child of God than what those long prayers are. God didn't tell you to pray long. He just told you to pray. He didn't tell you to pray long. He just told you to ask and that you would receive. He just simply told you to call upon the name of the Lord. That's all. You don't have to pray long prayers to be rewarded of the Lord. Now, I want to say a second illustration. You've heard this one before. But I think of old Elijah in 1 Kings 18. Elijah needed fire. The best I can remember, he prayed 63 words. And the fire of God fell. Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I don't know anybody today they can pray 63 words and the power of God fall. Wouldn't it be a blessing if Brother Hall got up here this morning, just bent himself over this pulpit, prayed 63 words, and God opened up heaven and the fire of God fell. Now, I'm not talking about literal. I'm talking about the power and the presence of Christ in our midst. That real fire of Almighty God that, hey, that not only blesses us, but that fire that will purify us and stir us and help us in our Christian life. I'm simply saying, hey, if we want the fire and the power and the presence of God, it don't take long prayers to get it. Isaiah prayed 63 words and the fire fell. Hey, and when it fell, it consumed the sacrifice, licked up the water and the dust. And in so many words, God said, Elijah, I've heard. Elijah, I've answered. Elijah, I've blessed you. Elijah, I will deliver Israel. 63 words deliver the nation. I'm telling you that is just about more than what I can take in my heart. What a prayer. What a God. Amen. What a blessing. What hope it brought to the people when they saw that fire. They cried out, the Lord, He is God, the Lord. He is God, and I'm going to tell you, they put the prophets of Baal to death. They killed 450 prophets of the grove, and old Elijah's God became the God again of Israel. Amen. A country backslidden. Amen. Yeah. And 63 words brought them back to where they ought to be. I've got to hurry. or I won't have a short message. I think of another fellow. There's a fellow by the name of Peter wanted to get out of a boat one time. And he said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come to you on the water. And the Lord said, come. And old Peter got out of that water and started walking, done pretty good. But he saw the waves as they got boisterous, and he began to sink. How many words do you think he said? Lord, save me. Three words. Did he get delivered? Absolutely. He was delivered in three words. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, it takes more than that to deliver me. That's what the devil's pumped into your head. He's told you that you've got to pray to be eloquent and pray long prayers in order to be delivered by God. Now, I'm telling you many times, all you've got to holler is, Lord, help. Lord, save me. Lord, bless me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, save my child. Lord, save my spouse. Lord, save my family. It don't take long prayers. It just takes your heart being right with God's heart and your heart being right with your fellow man for God to hear your prayer. And if you get right with your neighbor and get right with God, it don't take long praying. Short praying will get the job done. It'll get the job done. You better believe it will. Now, I want to say three things about the text that we're in here on what we call the model prayer, and I'm done. If you'll notice, he said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, in this I see, first of all, our approach to God. How we approach God. He said, our Father, which art in heaven. May I say to you that, hey, that nobody just rushes in to the presence of God. I think we've got the idea today that to pray, all we got to do, you know, is just, I mean, we can be doing, I mean, just pray. But I'm going to say something. Hey, there is nobody going to get in the presence of God without a little bit of proper preparation. That heart has got to be properly prepared, or you're not going to get in the presence of Almighty God. You don't just walk into the throne room. Brother, you've got to have that golden scepter of invitation to come in. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. Well, I'm going to read a verse of Scripture here that's going to make a liar out of you if you don't believe it. Because the Bible said in Psalm 65 and verse number 4, get what the psalmist says. He said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, everybody is not chosen and caused to approach to God in the same way. Anyway, when I read through the Bible, I find special people that God used in special ways. I think about Moses and how God chose him and caused him to approach unto him. I think about Paul, and there's others that I could mention. Blessed is that man whom thou choosest and causest that he may approach unto thee. You don't just run into God. Now I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to prepare that heart. And I'll get into some things in a minute. It's got to be made clean and proper and right before you ever get in the presence of God. Nobody with a dirty heart is getting in the presence of God. That's why they had in front of that tabernacle of labor. That's why they had that table of showbread. That's why they had that candle. Hey, to get in there, you had to go through that labor and cleanse yourself. Now I'm telling you, you're going to have to get in this book and get a little bit of the washing of the water by the Word of God in order to get in the presence of God. In other words, there's got to be a clean heart. God sees that heart, and if I regard iniquity there, He won't hear me. Somebody said, well, what if it don't come out? If you confess it and mean it, you've done all you can do. Amen. And God knows that. Now listen carefully. If we're going to approach God, we must first confess our sins. I know a lot of people don't believe that. They don't want to confess their sins. I don't sin. You're a liar.
Amen.
It's just that we're all sinners.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, the longer I serve Him, the more sinful I see myself.
Amen.
And I wonder how God could love a wretch like me.
Yep.
Oh, but I'm so thankful that God looked down from heaven one day and smiled on this old country boy. Wicked and vile and wretched as I could be. God looked down from heaven one day with tender smile and love in His eyes and reached down an omnipotent hand that was full of mercy and grace and power and lifted me up. Brought me out of that horrible pit. My feet had nigh well slipped. I was in that shaft of destruction. And I'm telling you, and I was in a place of despair. But oh, that mighty hand of God came out of nowhere when I was lost and undone and the devil had a grip on my soul and sin had its clutches in my heart and God tore them asunder. Brother, and I'll tell you, delivered me by the grace of God. Just like them old boys Brother Steve was talking about has been possessed with devils. God rips them. The devils rip some of them before they come out of them. Now, I'm here to tell you, friend, but they come out nonetheless. And that Sunday morning when God came to where I was, I'm telling you, I was in such a mess. I don't see how God loved me. I don't understand why God loved me. Now I'm telling you, you're looking at one old boy that is thankful that He did love me. I'm thankful that He does love me. I'm thankful He'll always love me. I'm glad He saved me. I'll always be glad He saved me. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'll always be glad I'm going to heaven. Alright, God, you better believe it. Amen. That's right. Now, I'm going to tell you again, you're going to have to confess your sins. You're going to have to acknowledge them to God to get into His presence. And then we must confess our humility and our lowliness of our original nature. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what are you talking about? Well, I mean, we're going to have to tell God what we really are. Somebody said, He already knows it. I understand that. He knows everything. If I'm not telling you the truth, then you don't have to confess your sins to be saved. All you got to do is just live and God will save you. But I'm telling you for a fact, friend, you got to confess your sin. But you also got to confess your humility and your lowliness of that original nature. In other words, you've got to remind yourself. You have to remind God. God knows what we are. But in prayer, we're reminding ourselves of just how unworthy we really are of the love of God. And we don't deserve to get in that throne room. But thanks be unto God, by the blood, we have a new and a living way. That is behind the veil, church. Where we can get in there by the grace of God. Get into the presence of God. Yes, sir. And call on the name of the Lord. And I'll tell you, the God of heaven that dwells behind the veil between the cherubim will hear and answer our prayers for us. And they don't have to be long prayers. No, sir. Our problem is we're like that. Was it a Pharisee? Said, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that publican over there.
Right.
Why, I fast and pay tithes and fast twice a week and pay tithes. I do this and I do that. I'm going to tell you something else he does. He makes a fool out of himself.
Amen.
In front of Christ. That old publican wouldn't even look into heaven.
Right.
Just smote himself on the breast. He said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know who went down to their house justified? The publican.
Right.
Not the do-gooder. The sinner.
Amen.
You will, hey, I'm hoping before I have to depart from this life that this church will understand you don't have to be good to go to heaven.
Amen.
God did not come to save good people. He come to call sinners to repentance, not good people. They don't need a physician. Hey, it's a sinner. That's lost, that's sick, that needs a physician, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
They're the ones that came to save. I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to confess that humility and that lowliness of our original nature. as a creature, we're going to have to confess the fact that we're subject unto Him. Oh, you mean we are under His authority? You got that right, Buckwheat. If you're praying, if you're going to approach God, you're going to have to remind yourself that you're under His authority. That's right. That you are subject unto Him. Oh, we don't want that, do we? No, we want to have our own way. Do our own thing. I'm going to tell you, Elvis done it, had it his way. And Elvis done his own thing. And contrary to some of you sitting out there or listening by the radio, he's in hell today. Without God and without hope. You know why? He did it his way. I'm going to tell you, friend, if you ever get into God in prayer, you're going to have to do it God's way or you ain't going to get it done at all. We're going to have to realize that in all things, He is above us. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. They are high above you and I. Far above you and I. My goodness, when I think of the wisdom of God, when I think of the power of God, I'm gonna get something here in a minute. I ain't never really thought too much of it before. But we need to confess the fact that we're totally dependent upon Him, and we are.
Amen.
Totally dependent. Without Him, they said in John's Gospel, chapter 15, without Him, you can do nothing. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing, not nothing. And we're totally dependent upon Him. In other words, we better learn to lean on Him and not on man. Not on self. Thank God for the church. But we came, hey, we'll fall if we lean on the church. Now I know that He's ahead of the church. But I'm telling you, He's the one. Hey, He's the foundation the church is built on.
Amen.
Brother, I'm telling you, like the church leans upon Him, you and I are that church, and we're going to have to lean upon Him and depend upon Him to sustain us in all things. And He will. May I say also, we must confess that we're unworthy and deserve punishment.
Amen.
In fact, that we ought to be cast from the presence of God. We're sure.
Yeah.
Every one of us in here this morning ought to be cast in the outer darkness.
Yeah, right.
Oh, somebody said, not me. I'm a pretty good person. We ought to confess the fact that we need to be eternally cut off from hope and mercy. And forever banished from the blessings of God's gospel. Who said you deserve to hear the gospel? Where can you find it? Show me in the Bible. Where you or I either one deserve to hear the gospel. We don't deserve to hear it. God didn't have to send a preacher by your way. He did. First of all, He didn't have to send His Son into the world to die and come out of the grave again to send back to heaven, that we might have a gospel. He had to do that. But secondly, He didn't even have to send a preacher by where we were to preach to us the gospel. And by the way, I think if you're ever going to get saved, you got to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Believe whatever you want to believe, but that's what I believe. Thank God for books. Thank God for tracts. I don't think anybody ever got saved listening to the man in black, reading the man in black. Amen. I believe they got born again. He might have been in black, but he was a man of God dressed in black with a King James Bible preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world.
Amen.
Now I'm fixing to bust some of you bubble right here.
Come on,
we champion that King James Bible, don't we? I heard a man say one time, you can't get saved out of no other Bible than the King James Bible. Now, I believe from 1611 up to now, that man's right. I don't believe people get saved out of the NIV and the RSV and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Wonder what they got saved out of before 1611.
Right, amen.
The King James wasn't the first Bible that was ever written.
Right.
And don't tell me people weren't saved before 1611. I know better. In fact, they were people saved before there ever was a copy of the Word of God. They didn't even have a copy of the Word of God. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake unto the fathers in times past, hath now spoken unto us by His Son, ladies and gentlemen. I want to tell you, when Jesus spoke, that established the Word of God, and that's it! There's no other revelation for man. We've got it right here now. We've got it. Amen. Now, I want to say number two, our approach to God. Our approach to God, but also I see our adoration of God. Notice what he said. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is honor paid to God by the Holy Ghost. This is honor paid to God by the creature, rather. We pay him honor. That's right. We speak about his most original perfections. And he is.
Yes, sir.
Has it ever occurred to you that God is self-sufficient in existence? When I say self-sufficient, he needs nothing. And he needs nobody. He exists, and I'll repeat this again in a minute. He exists in and of himself.
Amen.
By the way, he came from in and from himself. Oh, somebody said, preacher, he had to come from somebody. No, no, no. He never come from somebody, and he never come from nowhere. He always has been, and he always shall be. Somebody said, where'd God come from? I don't know. He didn't come from nowhere. He's always has been. Now, if you get a hold of that, you're going to turn a double back flip here in the house of God.
Amen.
We're finite beings, huh? And we see death and people coming into the world, people going out of the world, and we look at things on a short basis. I'm going to say, God doesn't look at anything on a short basis. Now, Him, it's eternity.
Amen.
Hey, from eternity's past until eternity's to come, he will be God. Always has been, always shall be God. And beside him there is none else. That's right. And when we approach him, brother, we're going to have to adore him for what he is and who he is and his perfections, his self-sufficient existence. He is God of and from himself. Nobody made him God, in other words. He created you and I, but nobody made God God.
That's right. Right.
Nobody created God. I've heard a man try to tell me one time Jesus was created. I said, you're an idiot. Jesus wasn't created. He was with the Father in the beginning.
Amen.
And by the way, so was the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In the beginning, God and the Spirit of God moved across the face of the deep. Always had, and I'll get to that in a minute. Might be here just in a minute. It is God alone. There is no other God beside himself. None. Number 10, when we pray, we need to remind ourselves of that. We're not praying to gods of stone and gods of wood. No, and gods of metal. We're praying to an eternal spirit. Can you get a hold of that? God is an eternal spirit. I don't know how. I can't explain it. I would to God I had a greater vocabulary and the ability to explain to you that God's an eternal spirit. But there never has been a time that God was not. Never shall be a time that He is not. Hey, when we pray, folks, get a hold of this. We're not praying to just anybody. We're praying to an eternal being. That His ways are far above our ways. And we get the idea. Like Brother Steve said in Sunday school, when those blind men, Jesus asked them directly, do you think I can do exactly what you want? Well, may I say to you, He did.
And he can do exactly what you and I want.
Amen.
Because he's God, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Is there anything too hard for him? Is there anything impossible with him? Is there anything that he can't do? God can take a dead womb and bring a baby out of it. God can take a man that's beyond the flower of his age and bring a man out of his loins. I'm telling you, God's able to reach down into the depth of the grave where the dead sleep and raise the dead up out of the grave. God is able to come to this earth in the form of another man. Hey! And go back to heaven himself. Brother Joel, I believe it was, asked me this morning. I said, tell me something real quick about what you believe about Melchizedek. There are some different ideas about Melchizedek. Who he was and what he was. Personally, I believe he was a Theophanes. A Theophanes is an appearance of deity on the earth. You know who Melchizedek was? Jesus!
Amen.
He was Christ! Amen and amen!
Amen!
Had to be. Without father and without mother.
Amen.
Without descent.
Right.
He was God.
Amen.
Now say he can be whatever he wants to be. When those three men approached Abraham and told him about Isaac, and Sarah laughed. And the Bible said the two went down towards Sodom, and the one said, told Abraham, "Well, I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do." And Abraham stood in that place and divinely interceded with that one that was left behind. That had to be God, the Father. But the Bible said when they got to Sodom and Gomorrah, you know what it said? It didn't say it was two men. Two angels! God can be what He wants. You know what I think those two angels were? I believe they were the Son and the Holy Ghost!
Amen.
That's right. You know why I believe they were that? Because they brought them out! They brought Lot, his daughters, out of that place. Now I'm telling you, who will bring a sinner out today is a Holy Ghost conviction that the Son of God died in his place. Amen and amen.
Amen.
That's right. Now, let me go on. His inconceivable subsistence in three persons. I've already mentioned that. The mystery and the wonder of the Trinity. Supersedes all of my understanding. Surpasses it all. When I think of one God in three persons, how wonderful that is. How many times have you heard the song and just thought nothing about it? Oh, wonder of wonders. Oh, how can it be that God was made flesh and was given for me? Hallelujah. Oh, it wants to make me want to jump over this pulpit with both, leap out in the midst of them kids and shout hallelujah three times. Yes, sir. When I think that God was made flesh and then given for me. Oh, deserving of hell. Then He allowed me to come into His presence and to praise Him and to thank Him for what He's done. Oh, I should have used this a little while ago. And I forgot about it, talking about coming into His praises. The Bible said in Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Wonder how we ought to enter into the house of God. Somebody said, well, we're not coming in here to pray. We prayed. You want me to tell you what I thought about that verse of Scripture this morning? You know what I thought about? When we were in Tucson, Arizona, Brother Bobby Mason came out there and preached a sermon in a black church. We sat there and we got over there after our service. You know, black folk have long services. They hadn't even started church yet. And we're sitting in there and all at once that piano and that organ revs up, son. I mean, they coming down on it. And I hear a little noise behind me. And I look behind me and there comes
There come several men and women up the aisle of that church. And they're saying, and they're praising, and they're thanking God. And I've often wondered, why, that's silly to do that, is it? The verse I just read said we're to enter into His court with thanksgiving and with praise, ladies and gentlemen. And with song. Amen. Come on in the house, children. Wonder if it would change things around here. If we had come in, not with just a song in our heart, but maybe come in with one on our lips. Amen. We might not even have time to have Sunday school. It might break out in here in a Sunday school hour. I've seen it do it before. It can do it again. Amen.
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 Yeah, amen.
That's right. Now, three persons. Oh, wonder of wonders, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me?
Amen.
And we pray. We need to adore Him in that way. Not reminding Him, but reminding ourselves. Then not only His original perfections and His inconceivable subsistence in three persons, but His infinite superiority of all others in holiness. He is so pure, His eyes delight not in iniquity. His wisdom, His justice, His power, His goodness, His mercy, all these make Him suitable for our prayers and our praise. All of them. When was the last time you told Him how powerful He was, or how holy He is, how pure He is, and to know that He that is pure loved me that is impure. Now I'm going to close with this one thought. I see also, He said, verse 10, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as it is in earth, as it is in heaven. You know, I said this, our approach to God, our adoration of God. This final little note, I just thought, our alleluia to God. Some of you think I'm crazy, you know. I'm not crazy. Thy kingdom come. This is in reference to His earthly reign. That's right. He will be, His will, He said, as His will is done in heaven, so be it done on earth as well. His will is accomplished
Amen.
On earth, just like it is in heaven. When all rebellion is suppressed, you know what we ought to say? Hallelujah!
Amen.
Hey, some rebels in this world today, buddy.
Yeah.
And by the way, do you realize that is a universal word? You can go anywhere in the world and they know what the word. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
They know it!
Amen.
Because all the world shall be full of His glory.
Amen.
All the earth someday.
Yeah. Right.
God's people will cry out, Hallelujah!
Amen.
When they see the smoke of the great whore ascend up, they'll cry, Hallelujah!
Amen.
When they see all evil and the devil suppressed, they'll cry out, Hallelujah!
Amen.
When swords are beaten into plowshares,
Hallelujah.
We'll cry out, Hallelujah!
Amen.
You know why we will? Because men will study war no more.
Right.
And when men study war no more, we can say hallelujah. I got some grandkids, boy.
Amen.
Man, they're just at the right age to be taken over there into that bed. They're at the right age for one of the greatest battles that's ever going to be fought on this earth. And it grieves my heart to even think about it. But when I think about our God divinely intervening, and making His appearance on that white horse, I can say, Hallelujah! Amen! That's right! He's coming! When men will beat their swords into plowshares and study war no more,
we can cry, Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right. He will. He will. What about the lion and the lamb laying down together?
Hallelujah.
We'll say, Hallelujah. When these fellows was over our building, not house. The kids was over there one day. And some of them come in the house. And then that turn around where those rocks are. Hopefully the rocks and things were there at the time. But some of them come in and said, Papa said, you better get out there. And I said, why? They said, because Rebecca's out there playing with worms. I said, playing with worms? He said, there's a lot of worms, Poppy. She's playing with them. I got out in that middle spot where she was at. Once he was playing with worms, it was baby snakes. She didn't know it. She just planted them little snakes. They didn't want them over to bite her. I don't know why. Don't ask me why one of them didn't lay it on her. But what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying there's coming a time when these kids can sit out on the cockatrice den. Brother, they'll have no harm to them. And the lamb and the lion will lay down together, and the lion will eat straw like a lamb does. Can you imagine a lion eating hay? Throw him another meal of hay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sit out on another cockatrice den. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sit down at the feet of Jesus and let him teach you a while. Hallelujah!
Amen.
And then, boy, comes that glorious day when the devil raises his head up one more time and the Lord God omnipotent that reigneth will cast him into a lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet have been for 1,000 years. And God's people will cry out, Hallelujah!
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's right. And I'm going to tell you something. We need to enter into that prayer room with that hallelujah to God. Thy kingdom come, Lord. When was the last time you prayed, Thy kingdom come? Or do you sing that song, Wait a little longer, please, Jesus. Thy kingdom come. And like I said, that is talking about His earthly kingdom.
Hallelujah.
And it's coming.
That's right.
It is coming. I can't hardly wait. I'm
Hallelujah.
Serious.
Hallelujah.
I want to see Him.
Yes, sir.
He taught us how to pray there. How to approach Him. How to adore Him. Now we ought to use the word hallelujah when we get there. Because His kingdom has come.
Amen.
What a God.
Amen.
How wonderful.
Yes, sir.
Thrills my soul to know today that God loved me and died for me. Let's stand together.